the water went off at 9 this morning. Not dramatically, no hissing pipes or anything. Just a slow, sad trickle from the tap that died to nothing while I was brushing my teeth. I'd seen the notice online the night before, something about a planned 24-hour shutdown hitting a couple of dozen mahallas across Mirzo Ulugbek, Yashnabad, Mirabad, and a few other districts. My rental flat in Mirabad was apparently in the zone. The landlady had mentioned it when I signed the lease, but I'd forgotten. A cold shower at 7 a.m. is a bracing way to remember. There's a rhythm to August in Tashkent that you learn fast, and today was the day it all clicked for me. The city clears out. Not empties, exactly, but the energy shifts. Everyone who can afford to flees to the mountains or the reservoir, and everyone who stays moves slower, like the heat itself is a weight they're carrying. I'd planned today as my escape day anyway. The one practical thing I needed to do was sort out my weekend routine, figure out how I was going to survive the next few months here without melting into a puddle on the pavement. First, the paperwork reality check. I swung by the OVIR office near the old city to confirm my registration was lodged properly. The new notification-based system is meant to be simpler. The Propiska was abolished last year, which genuinely is a big deal, but the queues are still a part of the experience. 40 minutes of standing in a corridor that smelled of floor polish and bureaucratic patience. And I was done. I'm told the whole thing can be done online through the mydotgov.uz portal now, and for renters it's mostly the landlord's job, but I wanted the paper trail in my hands. Cost nothing but time. After that, I needed coffee.
Brupe kufa.
There's a place called Raspberry Coffee Roasters near the Yunusabad district that a friend had recommended, and honestly, it was worth the taxi fare. The ride there cost about 15,000 som through the app, maybe a dollar and change, and the cappuccino was around 25,000 som, which felt eye-watering until I remembered it was about $2. The air conditioning, the hum of conversation, the smell of fresh beans. It was a slice of the expat bubble, but a welcome one. I sat by the window, watched the street shimmer outside, and plotted my escape. The plan was straightforward. Take the road east to Chimgan. It's the classic weekend move for anyone living in Tashkent, and I wanted to see what the fuss was about. I booked a car through the Yandex Go app, a driver called Aziz, who showed up in a pristine white Nexia, and we negotiated the fare to Chimgan and back for the day. It came to about 400,000 som, which is around $30, split between the journey and waiting time. Not cheap by local standards, but reasonable for a private day trip when the alternative was staying in a city that felt like an oven. The drive itself is part of the experience. You leave the city's concrete canyons behind, pass through the sprawl of new developments and old mahallas, and then suddenly the road starts to climb. The air changes. It smells of dry grass and pine. The Tian Shan foothills rise up, brown and gold in the summer light, and within an hour you're in a different world. Aziz told me the name Chimgan comes from the old Turkic words for green valley, which makes sense when you see it. Sometime in the last few decades, someone reforested the mountainsides, and the villages cling to the slopes like they've been there forever. We stopped at the Beldersay cable car station, which is the main way up to the high trails. The base area was buzzing with families, groups of friends, a few tourists like me. I paid for a one-way ticket up, I think it was around 50,000 som, and rode the gondola alone, watching the valley floor drop away. The wind was cool at the top, genuinely cool, which felt like a luxury. I walked the ridge for an hour, just breathing. There's a trail that loops along the top of the peak, with views down to the reservoir and the green patchwork of the park below. I found a quiet spot on a rock, ate a pack of the dried apricots I'd bought at Korsu 2 days ago, and let the silence do its work. Coming down, I was hungry, properly hungry. The kind of hunger that only mountain air can conjure. Aziz drove us down to the Charvak Reservoir, which is the other half of this weekend escape equation. It's a great blue sheet of water ringed by mountains, with resorts and beaches and boats on its surface. The shore was packed with people doing what Tashkent residents do in August. Swimming, playing volleyball, eating, being loud and happy. There were kayaks for rent, pedal boats, little floating cafes that sold beer and watermelon from the back of rickety pontoons. The vibe was pure summer. We found a place near the water's edge that had a tandoor oven and a grill going. I ordered shashlik, skewers of lamb, charred and salty, and a bowl of the local lagman noodles, which came with a broth so rich it was almost a meal in itself. With a bottle of cold water and a hunk of naan bread, the whole thing came to about 90,000 som, maybe $7. I ate with my fingers, watching the sun flash off the water, and felt something loosen in my shoulders that had been tight since I landed. The thing about Charvak is that it's not rugged wilderness. It's a Soviet-era reservoir, built back in the 70s, and the infrastructure has that faded grandeur charm. Concrete steps down to the water, a vast paved esplanade, the ruins of what was clearly once a grander resort complex. But the water is clean and the mountains are spectacular, and the energy of the crowd is infectious. I sat on the warm concrete for a while after eating, just watching families. Kids chasing each other with water pistols. Grandmothers doling out slices of melon from huge coolers. Young couples sharing a single set of headphones. Felt honest, the city's escape. Aziz was stretched out on a lounger near the car park, scrolling on his phone, and we agreed to head back around 6. The drive home was quieter. The sun was low, casting long shadows across the road, and the radio played a mix of Uzbek pop and Russian ballads. I asked him how often he makes this trip. "Every weekend in summer," he said. "The city gets too hot, the air gets too heavy, and people need to remember the mountains are there." He told me the traffic back to Tashkent on a Sunday night is always a nightmare, which is why he prefers to do the weekday runs when he can. Back in the city, the air hit me like a wet blanket. I checked my phone. Still 35 degrees at 8 in the evening. But the day had done its job. I felt reset. There's a ritual here of ending a hot day with a cold beer in a public place, and I wanted to join it. I got a taxi back towards Mirabad, thinking about the evening ahead. The water came back on at some point in the afternoon. Apparently, though I only barely noticed, I'd been gone. The whole episode felt like a strange, distant city problem that I'd left behind in the mountains. Night fell and the city exhaled. I went to a place called Socials Minor, which I'd spotted earlier in the week. It's one of those open-air courtyard restaurants that Tashkent does so well. String lights overhead, trestle tables, a mix of groups and couples and people eating alone with a book. I ordered a beer, which came to about 15,000 som, and watched the city do its evening thing. The heat loosened its grip as the night wore on, and the streets filled with people walking, chatting, smoking, drinking tea on the curb outside the Choikanas. That's the summer rhythm I've learned. The morning is for work and errands, the afternoon is a dead zone owned by the heat, and the evening is when life actually happens. The night markets along the canals are bustling by 11, and some places serve plov until 2 in the morning. I wandered for a bit after my beer, ending up near the Kukuldash Madrasa in the old city, where the ancient stone walls glowed amber under the streetlights and the sound of cicadas filled the air. The whole quarter felt alive in a way it didn't in the daylight glare. On the walk home, I passed a group of old men sitting on a wooden platform outside their Mahala tea house, drinking green tea and arguing about something with enormous enthusiasm. One of them waved me over, offered me a cup. I sat with them for 10 minutes, understanding about half of what was said, but understanding all of the gesture. It's the kind of hospitality that makes you want to stay. The tea was hot, which somehow felt right in the evening cool. They asked where I was from, what I was doing in Tashkent. When I said I was living here, they nodded, satisfied. Not visiting, living. I walked back towards my flat, thinking about the plan I had sketched out. The mountains are a lifeline for this city, and I can already tell they're going to be part of my regular rhythm. A weekend up at Chimgan, a day at the reservoir, these are how you survive the August heat and keep your sanity. The last bus ran at 11 and I'd missed it, so I took a taxi for the last stretch. 10,000 som, not even a dollar. The driver tried to quote me double when he saw I was foreign, but I'd already opened the Yandex app and showed him the fare. He laughed, shrugged, and we drove in silence. Tomorrow I'll start thinking seriously about the next leg of this journey, the slow drift south as the summer fades, saving Samarkand and Bokhara and Khiva for when the autumn light hits them properly. But tonight, Tashkent has won me over. I'm learning its rhythms, its escapes, its small kindnesses. A place you live in is different from a place you visit. One day in, one more day learned. The heat is still there, a constant presence, but it's becoming familiar. It's the price of admission to this strange, layered, generous city. And so far, it's a price I'm happy to pay.